tonight, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I told my wife today, or wife and family today at dinner table, that I was going to take it easy on you this evening and be brief. She said, "Oh no, we're in for it." I don't know why wives have to be so supportive. I guess they have faith in us based upon the past. But I really do believe I'm going to be brief tonight. The story has been told of the famous composer, pianist, I don't know his first and middle name, but his last name is Paderewski. Some of you may have heard the story before. He was scheduled to perform at a great concert hall in the United States. It was going to be an evening to remember. It was black tuxedos and long gowns. It was a high society extravaganza. Present in the audience that evening was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son. That 9-year-old boy was tired of waiting and he was squirming constantly in his seat. His mother was in hopes that somehow by seeing the great pianist Paderewski that he would realize that if he would practice, really spend the time practicing, that he could do so much more. And she was hoping that from this there would be that encouragement to him. So against his wishes, he had went with her. But boy, was he fidgety. She at one point, though, before the concert began, turned away from him and began talking with her friends and forgot about the little 9-year-old fidgety boy. And he somehow slipped off the seat, made his way to that stage, drawn by that beautiful ebony piano, wanted to sit down at that seat and made his way there, climbed up on the stool, oblivious to the huge, highfalutin crowd that was sitting out there in the audience. And the audience was oblivious to the little 9-year-old boy that was on the piano stool. He looked with amazement, with excitement in his eyes at the grandeur of the piano and placed his fingers upon the keys right at the right spot and began to play the well-known song, Chopsticks. Didn't take long for the crowd to realize that there was something going on, and they looked up and saw that little boy sitting there at the piano playing Chopsticks, and they began to cry out, "Get that boy down from there. What's he doing there? Where's his mother at? What in the world is a mother doing bringing a 9-year-old boy or a little boy like that to this concert hall? Somebody stop him." Paderewski was backstage and he heard the commotions and heard what was going on, and he made his way out front onto the stage and slipped up behind that little boy that was oblivious to everything around him with one hand on each side of him, began to ad lib an additional part to the Chopsticks that the little boy was playing. He leaned over, whispered into the little boy's ear as they continued to play. He said, "Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep on playing." As he was harmonizing with that little boy, making a beautiful song out of what can be monotonous Chopsticks. So it is so many times in our own lives. We're hammering away on our own little project. We're trying to do something. It may even appear to be as something as insignificant as It's chopsticks. But we're trying. We're working at the job. We're chiseling away in the midst of the project when suddenly, out of the clear blue, the master comes up and leans over and whispers in our ears, "Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep on going," as he improvises on our behalf to make our little effort worthwhile. Maybe Paul the Apostle, though he didn't know Paderewski, didn't know about this story, maybe he was understanding a little bit about that as well when he wrote the passage here of Galatians chapter 6. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," here it starts right off as though something bad has happened, discouragements have come, things haven't gone as well as what had been anticipated. Comes on down there, and it just seems as though he continues to go on about burdens. People have burdens. We personally have burdens. I don't know if maybe even Paul was realizing that there were some people looking around and realizing that the sinners prospered. I mentioned a little bit about that this morning. Said, "He that soweth to his flesh is going to reap of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, there's situations in life, but verse number 9, he seems to sum it all up in a little nutshell. He said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We shall reap if we faint not. What a wonderful text that is to us. In the midst of all of the hubbub of our lives, and we are coming into the busiest part of the year, in the midst of everything that we are involved with, "Be not weary in well-doing." Another translation of that says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Another story along the same lines is of a young man that was walking along an isolated road, and he heard something crying, a little crying sound coming somewhere over the edge of the roadway. He couldn't tell for sure what the sound was, but it seemed to be coming from underneath a bridge, a little overpass that went over top of a creek. He made his way to the side and he looked down, and there lying in the muddy riverbed, the stream bed, was a little puppy of about 2 months old. It had a gash on its head and it was covered in mud. Its front legs were swollen where they had been tightly bound with cords. The young man was immediately touched in his heart with compassion and wanted to help the little dog, and so he made his way down over the embankment into the mud. But as he approached the little puppy, the crying stopped and the little thing started to snarl and growl at him. He hunkered down in the mud and began to talk to it softly. It took a long time, but finally the snarling and the growling stopped, and the young man was able to inch forward and eventually touch the dog and reassure it by petting its fur a little bit, and then began to loosen the cords that were binding the front legs, wounding them. The young man picked up the pained little dog and carried it home and cared for its wounds, gave it a bath, gave it food and water, a warm place to sleep. But with all of this, the dog continued to snarl and growl every time the young man made his approach. But he continued to work with him. Did not give up. continued to be patient and take his time and approach the dog very carefully and slowly and talk to him as best he could in soothing tones. Weeks went by, months went by, and the man continued to care for the puppy. And then one day, as he approached the little puppy, it wagged its tail. The consistent love and kindness had finally won, and a lifelong friendship between man and dog was born. A friendship of loyalty and of trust. Could I just be honest with you? I don't think I would have made it past taking the dog home. I wonder how many of us would have. Seems like a long road to go just to make friends with a little 2-month-old pup. But then we come back to this verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We're not talking about a soulless little puppy here. We're talking about people. We're talking about life. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about things of eternal value. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I don't know why the Lord pressed that on me. Especially since it seemed as though the last part of the message this morning was along the same line. Keep on going. We're almost to the finish line. It's almost over. But let us continue to press on. There may be discouragements. There may be little snarls and growls that come in our direction from various places and maybe even from various people. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Stand with me, please.